Welcome back to Signals on 91.3. This morning, we'll be looking at child advocacy. I have with me the founder and CEO of Green Pasture Kiddies Foundation. She's passionate. She's passionate, committed, and committed to children's advocacy, whose trust is to help kids in developing countries and has actively worked with children and families in slum communities, hospitals, orphanages, and public schools. She sees herself as one of the tools that will be used in alleviating global poverty, both the poverty of the mind and of the pocket. She's driven by great compassion, and she's not a fan of handouts. She strongly believes that helping people should also be driven by discipline and accountability. She currently works as a project manager, and she has worked in the non-for-profit sector in the past 15 years, delivering small to large-scale projects, one of which was the UNESCO World Book Capital in 2014. I have with me someone who I remember at the time when we met, and she was doing something with the slums in Ikwari, and she will call everybody, Oshodi Tokpe, oh yeah, we are going, and she's been forever passionate about kids. I have with me Tolu Lokpe Shodunke. Welcome to Signals on 91.3.
Hi, Deomi.
Yes, hi, Deomi. Now, we're discussing child advocacy, and I know you've done this for like forever, but why? Let's go back in time.
Okay.
When the inspiration for children came about.
Okay. I always say to people, I've always loved children, and for me, I think I love children that are chubby, you know, children that you carry, and when you smell them, they smell like ice cream. But I found that I was having dreams about children, and the children that I was dreaming about were not the children that I just described, yeah? Mm. So they were children in not too good-looking environments, children asking me for things and all of that, and these dreams came often that I didn't really understand. Mm. But there was a particular dream that I had where I was a bus conductor or conductress, if you want to call it that, and I was all the passengers were children, and they were all asking me for change, and I was like, how do I deal with all of this? It was a Molue bus, and how do I deal with this? And I woke up from the dream, and when I woke up, I was having a conversation with my brother, you know, now I always talk to him, and he asked if there was a driver, and that was another adult which I remembered, and his name was Femi, and he was, I love me, who were your passengers, children? And that was how Green Pasture Kiddies came to be. Like, for me, I think it's a calling rather than just, oh yeah, waking up someday to say, oh, I want to do charity work. And I've done it for 17 years.
Okay, yes. That's 17 years. I know some of us were dragged. Tokwe would drag us. Tokwe is our brother who's with us here currently. Now, it's really child advocacy. Tell us the success stories.
Well, we've had a lot of success stories. We've had some not too good ones. Like you said, we work with children in slum communities and in hospitals. But when I started, we used to go to orphanages.
Okay, so I'm beginning to make her shed some tears. So just
and I found that children in orphanages are actually more privileged, because every time we went there, we saw that other people were also giving them stuff. Mm. And we decided to start going into the streets, and we found this slum in Kostin. I think you've been there before. Kostin. And you know, we've had a lot of children. We've had some who still remain in the slum. Some have come out of the slum. The people who took us into the particular slum that we work in no longer live in the slum. Yes. So they help children there get out of the slum and become good. We've helped children in hospitals pay their bills and get out of the hospital. For me, it's just compassion for people that are vulnerable.
Now, tell us a bit about the people, the children who still stay in the slum even after getting help.
Okay, so the type of help that we give, we focus on education, welfare, and health. we really can't take everybody out of the slum, you know that. I have to like build houses for them, posh
but that's in the pipeline.
Yeah, that's a long-term goal.
Yes,
absolutely. But what we do is we have a project called Nurture One, and what I do is I try to get friends and family to support a child, so they have monthly payments that they put into the account to support the children's education. And then we kind of mentor the children, so we don't just provide help and walk away. We watch them grow from when we start to contribute to towards their education, and we see their growth pattern. Some of them still want to go to school, some of them don't want to go to school anymore. I'm an advocate for education, but then it doesn't have to be
education at school,
book
academics.
Yes. So for me, I like apprenticeship, vocational trainings and all of that. So we kind of look at their strength and then channel their strengths or their energy towards their strengths.
Give us one person's story that have given you the, that has brought tears to your eyes. One person's story. Any success story. Which one? No, because I'll give you an expo.
By the way, you don't talk about he's my guy.
I know.
Like, if I'm not,
I'm going to give him the mic very soon.
No. So there are things that I don't remember that, you know, he tries to remind me of. Success stories. A success story.
One, just one. That I refused, or you tell me.
Okay, so there was a time I actually adopted a child.
Okay.
His mom couldn't cater for him anymore. She couldn't afford to send him to school. His dad wasn't so responsible, and I asked my mom, then I wasn't married, if I could take him in, and she was like, oh yeah, you can take him in. And that was how he came in. He went to school, but every time he got back from school, I would ask him, Toby, what did you learn? He would just be pulling his ears. Like, this boy, what's the issue? And we found this vocational school run by Redeemed Christian Church of God and took him there. And he started learning how to make shoes.
Okay. He found his passion.
Yes. And, you know, he was so good that at the end of the day, he was one of the boys that started making shoes for Gio. You know, they would do samples and
send to that Gio.
And for me, that's a success story, because from me not thinking he could do anything, because it seemed like he didn't even know, he couldn't communicate, to actually finding that thing that he would love to do, and he actually channeled his energy towards it. For me, that's fulfilling. That's a success story.
Okay. The ones that you try to save, because you rightly said that it's not all of them that wants to leave the slum. Why do you think so?
Well, so...
Tell us, it's okay.
There was a time I used to take them to church every Sunday. So I would get the church bus and take them to church. They would have lunch and go back. And there was a day I was praying with them, and I asked when I was praying that, is there any of you that feel that no matter what you do, you would not amount to anything in life? I didn't expect that anybody would raise their hands. And one boy did. So I spoke with him afterwards, that why? And he was like, you know what? All my brothers are area boys. I want to become an architect.
Wow.
But I feel no matter how much I try, I'll end up being an area boy.
That's the mind.
And for me, that's one of my, that's one thing that really drives me to want to take them out of that environment. Because it's, some of them want to be better people. There was a boy that I used to help. He landed in Ikoyi prison.
Wow.
And, you know, we tried to get him out. When he was in prison, they started calling him Pastor Nice. Sunday and all of that. And when he came out, the last time I saw him, he was already smoking weed. And I was like, how did we even get here? He said, Auntie, I go stop him eventually. You know, be like this, they bomb me, but I go stop him. You know, looking at him from where he was, thinking that, oh, this boy had changed, to now go back into the slum and turn out that way, for me, that's really heartbreaking.
Okay, so So what I'm saying here is a case of taking someone out of the environment, but an environment not leaving them.
Yes.
And so it's a mind thing. Because there's something I saw in... Now you're going to bear me that compassion. You're driven by great compassion. I'm not a fan of handouts. Why did you make that statement?
Okay. Some people have 10 children. I will not sponsor the 10 children. Do you get? Because if I do that, then you have the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th. Simply because there's a MAGA that supports you. So most times you don't take two children from the same family.
Okay.
Because I want their parents to be responsible as well. You know, if you tell me, oh, auntie, I have this. We don't just say, oh, yeah, come. We listen to you. Like I always say to people that we help children, we help their families, and we partner with communities. So the people within the community will tell you that, you know what, this person is on serious. So I tell you, okay, what do you do? How much can you contribute? You know, I have a child that I pay her school fees. When I started, I wasn't giving her mom everything. Let's say her school fees were 70,000. I'll give her 50,000 and say, go and look for the 20,000. Because I want you to be accountable as well. So that's what that means.
Okay, hold on a second. Hello, good morning. Hello. Okay, if you have questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp message, 009-234-5913. You can call us, 009-191-3913. We're discussing child advocacy with Tolulope Shodunke, the founder and CEO of Green Pastures Kiddies Foundation. A bit about Green Pastures Kiddies Foundation. Tell us more. Green GPK, that's how you call it. GPK, yes, tell us a bit about it.
Okay, which area?
From the beginning, how, you know, we move from the dream to reality.
Yeah.
And to action.
Yeah.
Okay, what are we doing currently now?
Okay, so we have different projects that we do. I think it was Vow for Kids that you used to attend. Yes. that we used to do yearly. We have Love in a Box that we do during Christmas.
Okay, this is Easter is coming up. What are we doing for Easter?
Then we do different drives, shoe drives, school uniform drives. We do back to school where we revamp classrooms because some of the public school classrooms are not really suitable for learning. So we try to revamp the classrooms. We are having a boot camp this month. I think next week, actually, because we are trying to work on their minds. Some of them haven't gone out of the slum in that way. So we are having a 2-day boot camp on Wednesday, the 27th and 28th, where we create learning corners for them. So they have different learning corners and they would naturally just gravitate to their interest. So okay. We have a photography, filming and entertainment learning corner. So we have a facilitator there who will take them over 2 days and they learn project photography and videography. We have the STEM corner, science, technology,
engineering and maths.
Yeah, where they learn stuff there. Then we have a fashion corner and we have something, you know, these mixers that you have. Someone
DJ.
Not a DJ.
Which one?
Audio engineering learning.
Is it the
corner.
One that is going to take the audio?
No, he's not the one. Okay. He won't take it. That's why I said he's my guy. It reminds me of things I don't remember. So they come there over 2 days, learn, and if they want to pursue that interest after the boot camp, then they kind of enroll with the facilitator because we have professionals taking them.
So where are you getting these kids from to come and learn? Where are you bringing the kids from?
Elijah Slum.
Wow.
So wow. It's going to be a full experience. They come in the morning, have breakfast, you know, we set the tables for them. They feel, you know, when they experience something that is...
They would only see in a rich man's house.
So that they think that I can actually be this person in my real life.
Yes.
So that way they start to look outside of the slum. Like, you know what? I want to come out of here.
I think look outside of the slum should be the next project.
Yeah, I want to come out of here and I need to be serious at school. Okay. Or I need to be serious with this thing I want to do. So we're giving them that experience over 2 days. And on the third day, we are having a banquet for 100 children where there's proper table setting, proper caterers, waiters. They will be served. They are used to serving people. So let them be served. Like, uncle, I want jollof. Bring the jollof. You know, like, treat them like princes and princesses. So that when they go back, they're like, you know what? I actually want this life. And then they become better. Then we nurture them. That's why it's called Nurture One. We nurture them, get people on board to pay for whatever it is that they want to do, whether schooling, whatever it is, and then watch them grow now, and start to bring more children out.
So why did you decide that they should be served as prince and princesses? Where did that thought come from?
Because they hardly get that opportunity.
Okay.
They hardly get the opportunity. You know, I've...
Knowing fully well that it's no fault of theirs.
It's not their fault. And I, before I went into that slum, I used to be very...
finicky.
You know, but by the time I started going there, sometimes I go there, my brother is like, you're like these people now. I speak their language. What do they say? They call me Auntie Swaga.
Oh yes, talk about your auntie has always had that.
Auntie Swagger, like, hey, auntie, you know that guy they drink baby oku. Oh, what's baby oku? All these
paraga.
Yeah, you know, we relate. But taking them out to say, you know what? Let's even leave all those things.
Come and see the real life.
Come and see the real life. And you know, they're like, I want to experience this on a daily. I want this to be my reality. It's not every time people are slapping their heads on the road or, you know, they're hawking, selling groundnut for their mothers. That's the environment I see children taking care of children. You see a five-year-old.
Taking care of a one-year-old.
Taking care of a one-year-old. So this time, let the focus be on them.
For once. Now, what's the response of the larger community? Has it been like... It's okay.
They don't care. They
don't care.
And because I think over the years, we've been working in this particular slum for over 12 years.
Okay.
So we've earned that trust. When we first got there, they were telling me they would kill me because Fashola sent me to come and demolish the place. But I think we've earned that trust over the years. And, you know, every time I go there, they're happy. You know, we have food soldiers in there. They'll call me, mama, this, a countdown. You know, so we have a relationship. And that's why I said that we partner with the communities that we go to.
How's the education of the parents like when you talk to the parents? They still don't care or they're swamped in their own realities?
They want better.
But don't know better.
They don't know better. If you tell them, some of them try to do better, but their situation really
it's not comfortable.
Like a cap, you know. So there's really not much they can do. They want education for their children. They are open to whatever good thing you bring to them. But you now saying, oh, you know what, handle it. It's failed.
Now, you talked earlier on about them having 10 children. And then you picking one person out of their kids. For the 12 years you've been working with that community, have they reduced childbirth?
Well.
No, sure. You know what I'm asking?
See what I say to people is this. We have DSTV. Yeah, that we watch at home. You know, you have your phone and all of that. Sex is leisure to them.
Wow. And there's no
you
money.
You say family planning. But look at it. People that have the most children are the ones that can't take care of the children.
True.
Because that's a form of leisure now.
Sex is a form of leisure.
And if they don't... if they don't do family planning, what happens?
So how then do we begin to educate the
Yeah, so parents? That's one of the things we're trying to do now, that you know what?
Stop.
And don't forget, some people, their religions don't permit it.
I know, but so how then do we educate them? How then do we get nurses and doctors to tell them that, okay, some religions don't do family planning.
Mm-mm.
Ah, we are in trouble.
Mm-mm. Some religions don't. So they do, but
they have their own method. No. So it's not about
because they have their method, but it wouldn't
have their
be,
method.
And that
so
method
you know why,
could be maybe like 50% or 40%.
Okay, so you know why I'm asking this is because for us on the other spectrum, what should we come back? Is we tend to blame them that they won't amount to anything, but they actually don't know. These parents don't know what to do. Right? And you know, sometimes you can be a culture where we judge people and not knowing that their realities are quite different from us.
Deomi, I've picked a girl from the street before. She was, I think she was 19.
19?
Yeah, she was 19. She had four children. Yes. She had a baby. She was sleeping on the road. And in fact, I was working with Tope that night. I think it was after the staff fellowship or something. And I was like, that girl, I don't think she's fine. Tope was like, whoa.
Let's be going.
Now you get calling. I know. Leave the girl. You know, but we took her off the streets, took her to a home for women somewhere in Oregon. I think it was owned by Daystar.
Yeah.
This girl ran away from the place.
So we are back to the mental. We are back to the mindset. Okay, it signals on 91.3. We're discussing child advocacy with I call her Wendy. But her official name is Tori Lopez Shudunke. She's the founder of Green Pastures Kiddies Foundation. And if you have questions, comments, you can call us or send us a WhatsApp message on 009-234-5913. Or you can call us 009-191-3913. Now, what's the role of the government in all of this?
I'm sure they are trying their best.
Okay.
I don't know. I really don't know, but I'm sure they are trying their best. I think the first year we went into the community, I saw pulling boots.
Okay.
So they are aware.
They are aware. They should be aware.
What they do for them, I don't know. There was a time I was trying to build toilets for them because they didn't have toilets. So they would build planks on water and don't give water.
Hmm.
And they still had to pay to use that. But when we're trying to do the toilet project, I found out that the people who had stakes in it, the Balea would say, use my land. One madam will come from somewhere, I can't use this land. Another person will come use it. So it felt like they were still going to exploit the people, okay. Which I didn't want to happen. Because it was just meant to be a toilet for the community.
Okay, so it's one thing to want to take them out. It's another thing for them to say, we like where we are.
So it's easier to work with children. My charity
better.
Is about children. It's easier. Children learn languages quicker. They learn
quickly.
If you take a child out of a place, the child will adapt in no time. Parents, they've been formed.
They are already formed. Let's just leave them. They'll wing their way out of it.
So,
but the innocent kids that did not plan to be born in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the long term? I like what you want to do with the boot camp, right? Where they would be served. Tell me again, because that's the way you painted it. So it means that they're coming into an environment where, is it a buffet kind where they pick what they want.
You know, it would be like, you know, how you go
we
to
get
weddings
waiters.
And the waiter will just come to you
and serve
them. You. You know, you have drinks. Then we'll have like a talk show for some of the beneficiaries.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of the beneficiaries to tell their experience over the years, you know, what they would want to change in the lives of their children, even in their own lives as well.
Now. the kids that are coming to the boot camp, how are you selecting them? What age to what age?
10 to 16.
Okay. 10 to 16. And
you know what I really wanted, you know? Yes. I wanted a house like Big Brother, you know, that kind of setting.
Feeling.
Have them stay for 3 days, you know, the shower, there's proper toilet, you know, they wake up in the morning, we have sessions, you know, that's my long-term goal.
It will happen in the news.
That's what I really want, because I want them to see, oh, is this how a proper bed looks like? Is this how a proper room looks like? Is this how a proper kitchen looks like? Do you get?
What do you expect after that boot camp to happen?
Well, after the boot camp, I'm hoping more children will get on the Nurture One scheme, where they would get people to kind of, I call it virtual adoption. So it's not adoption that they come and live in your house.
Okay.
It's just a sort of adoption where you are responsible for a child. So you make a monthly contribution towards that child's education, welfare, and health.
Feeding.
Yes. And you have progress report on this child from time to time. So you kind of, imagine if I had 1 million people sponsoring 1 million children in different parts of the world, you know, and over 10 years, you can see, oh, this child is now a doctor, simply because you were giving 20K, 10K, whatever.
A month.
So imagine how many candles, one candle would have lit.
Now, I'm looking at looking back at the project you've done in the past 17 years. If you look back, what do you see?
I see growth. I see fulfillment, and the land is green. Like, there's still more work to do.
Okay.
There's still more work to do. I don't think I've scratched the surface, you know. And I know a lot of people are doing things as well, which is, you know, it gladdens my heart. We are partners. We're all trying to make things better. But I just see, for me, all I just want is for children to also feel a sense of fulfillment. Where you live shouldn't determine whether you live. Do you get?
Where you live shouldn't determine
whether you live.
Ah, oh yeah, expresses the Oyinbo well.
So living is not just about waking up, you know, doing the normal things expected, like, oh, wake up, eat, sleep, use water, and all of that. Truly living is you fulfilling purpose and destiny.
Not knowing that.
So if you're not fulfilling destiny, you're not living.
Preach.
So where you live shouldn't determine whether you fulfill purpose or not. So what we then need to do, and I'm not talking about myself alone.
Generally.
People that, if you're better than the next person, you have the opportunity to help someone. So help that person fulfill purpose.
Now, let's quickly look at the kids, right, that you've been opportuned to help. How do they relate with their other friends, sisters, brothers, when they go back?
So they become the candle.
Okay.
So whatever it is they learn, whatever it is they've been taught, they come home. So, and that's not to say that we can't, you know, support more than one child. In a family.
Mm.
But then in terms of if, Some parents are irresponsible.
You want to nail it very well.
Some parents are irresponsible. So once you say, I want to my help, you know how they say. And they don't do anything. You just see that they are drinking paraga the whole day.
You know? Okay, it's still Signals and we're discussing child advocacy. Child advocacy with them to look question. If you have questions, questions, comments, and if you want to help be part of the Nurture One is monthly contribution, right, for a child. Okay, you can call us 009-191-3913, or you can send us a WhatsApp message 0809-234-5913. Now, how do you ensure that children's voices and their perspectives are included in your decision-making processes?
I have conversations with them.
Okay, tell us a bit.
I don't just listen to the parents. I talk to the child. What do you want to do? You know, what do you want to become in future? Are you happy?
And tell us some of their responses.
See, it's
deep.
I've asked the child before, what do you want to become in future? He said, roadside keke mechanic.
Okay.
Roadside keke mechanic.
Is that a good or a bad thing?
It's
not context.
It's a good thing. You can help that child tailor that thing.
Okay, true.
Do you get? Mechanical engineer.
True.
You know? And, you know, it
fine
has,
tune.
But take out the slum part. The poverty part.
The poverty part. It is.
You know, take that part out and polish that thing he wants to become. Help him see that beyond roadside.
There is more to life than just being that.
Yes. Because it's a great ambition.
It is.
You know.
At the stage he is.
It's like a child saying to me, I want to be an Obioma.
No, that's...
Yeah, but that's a fashion designer.
Yes.
But okay. The thing is the child is limited by his
what
environment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the facilitator for the filming and the photography corner, for example, is a product videographer. I think he studied in India. He's a professional. They see kpakpakpupu in their environment, photographer.
They do too.
No, I'm not bringing them in to come and see that.
Mm-mm.
I'm bringing them in to experience. It's magic.
True.
You know,
their eyes bloom.
See, their responses to stuff. Sometimes you laugh, sometimes you want to cry, but they are alive.
And they are alive, and they deserve better. They really do deserve better. So, in boot camp is next week, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're expecting 100 children.
100 children, 100 parents. I want a parent to attend.
A parent to attend.
Yes.
So that they also can see.
They can see. They can be a part of. I don't do irresponsible.
I know. You've never done it.
They can be a part. Because you can't just send your child. Oh, yeah, they want to help us. Go there. No. What's your quota? What's your contribution? Be there. Be present.
Now, have you ever had a case of a child where... A child that says that, Mom, I want to become an architect. And the parents kill their dreams because is that what we are doing? Is that why we are here? Have we had parents break down their children's dreams and aspirations because they are limited by their own information?
I won't give you an example of the slum children. Now, I'll tell you an example of... There was a time we were working in partnership with Luth. We used to go into Luth to help pay children's hospital bills because I don't know if you remember Dr. Dia, celebrity doctor.
Yeah, it was care.
We realized that they weren't discharging some patients because they were owing hospital bills.
Okay.
And there was this girl that we met there. I think she was 14. She had a kidney issue or something.
Mm.
And we were trying to raise funds to help this girl. We got someone who said, you know what, let her go to India. For treatment. And the guy was ready. I'd gone to one office in Ikoyi to start doing our papers. Then Luther also said that they had never done a child's transplant before, but they could do it, and they were going to fly in doctors from Egypt or somewhere. Do you know, this man said his child will not go to India. He said his child will not go to India.
And what happened to the child?
And the man that was going to sponsor said, because I'm not sure these people will be able to do it, if you're not doing it in India, I will not support you. The man said the child didn't go to India.
What happened to the child?
She's dead.
Greed.
I think it was more of, I don't know what it was, but no, I spoke to him. I tried to explain to him. The wife was helpless. He was like, no.
Ha.
He said no.
Okay, so the Nigerian part of me said, what kind of prayer do we pray to that one like this?
The man said no. The child
and was comfortable with the child dying as against getting help.
The child didn't go to India. They had the transplant done here. They didn't have it. So post surgery and all of that, they had to give them, you know, medicine. Because they didn't now have enough money, where he was meant to be giving his child 3 tablets, they were giving her 1. So later, our body rejected the kidney.
Jeez.
And by that time, it was then too late.
Wow, that's...
That was when I started running from hospital.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Wow, that's quite sad. The signals are 91.3 and we will be right back. Don't go anywhere. Let me finish now. Let me finish.
Is it corridors?
Corridor, yes. Out. Welcome back to Signals on 91.3. We're discussing child advocacy with Tolulope Shununke, and it's quite sub. If you have questions, comment 009-191-3913, or you could call us 009-234. Send us a WhatsApp message 009-234-5913. So how then do we, back to the conversation of parents disturbing, delaying their children out of their own ignorance, because it's a lot of ignorance, right? How then do you ensure that from that incident, that sad incident, that parents don't disturb their children?
You can't.
You
can only try.
Wow.
You can only try. And the thing is, I say to people, we can't help a child without the consent of the parent. Nobody wants to get into trouble.
No.
So,
but we can't leave them.
But by law, you can't do that.
Okay.
You can't.
So it means that the bulk of work is trying to educate the parents.
The parents
to help to, release, yes, the children.
They need to be educated in that regard. Like, okay, this are the benefits. Sometimes they've also been swindled.
True. Very true.
So
you can also
trusting.
Blame them. Okay. Hold on a second. Hello. Good morning. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Shoshu.
Yes, please.
Yes, my name is Dr. Ayodele.
Okay, Dr. Bandele, welcome.
Ayodele. I want to say, God bless that woman.
Amen.
Because, first, I work in the state of teaching.
Okay.
Because of,
please speak up, we cannot hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, it's better.
Yes, I work in a state hospital. I want to tell you something. We have a lot of good and angels like this woman in the studio.
Oh, yes, yes.
But do you know why we keep having the death rate of little children, their parents?
Their parents?
Some of them, most kids we have, they are the GOP.
Mm-hmm. Religion.
Some of them tell you that their pastor told them not to speak in tongues, not to do this, not to do that. I think I've heard her name before.
Yes.
I don't know. She's probably,
AKA is Wendy. Yewande.
Yeah.
Oh, Wendy.
Yes, Wendy.
Wendy, you were in love suit in 2019 now.
Well,
maybe. I know I've done stuff for Mercy Children's Hospital. Then
Mercy, yes. I come to last week. I remember.
You see
them. This Mr. Shodi. This woman needs our flowers.
Yes, she does.
They walk like machine.
Thank you.
Do you know when somebody that this is not your daughter, but you keep running up and down to get files, to get doctors,
Yo, and days like that.
That you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time, you know, because I'm not in the children department, but I see the warnings of all these agencies. I was like, kill all people. You said, give me, person,
See,
let me tell you one thing. Nigerians are great people.
Yes.
We have wonderful people like this woman on the studio. Wonderful people there. But I think the advocacy now needs to go to these parents.
Yes, so we need to educate the parents.
The life of this young woman. For these young children,
okay,
because of whatever you believe in.
Thank you so
Let
much.
Let these children live.
Let them live.
And like what most of my colleagues do say, only if they understand the work these women put into. Most of them use their money. This is what I've seen. Some of them, I've seen them paying for cardio.
Yes, I know.
I'm buying medicine for these people. I see them very well.
Thank you so much.
But you know, normally you just sit down, just keep looking at them. God bless you, madam.
Thank you.
Amen.
Too.
Thank you.
Well, at least that's a testimonial that you did not expect. Well, we wish you the very best.
Thank you.
Yewande, it's me. I know you as Yewande. Everybody knows you. Do MC Yewande. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you, Tokbe. Thank you.
Thank you, Tokbe.
Yes, Tokbe is the dream interpreter.
That's my G, my guy.
Right. And so how then, if people want to partner with you, how then do they partner with you?
Well, you can send an email to info@greenpasturekiddies.com.
Don't use Oyinbo. Say it Nigerian way. info at
greenpasturekiddies.com. You can follow us on
Instagram.
Instagram at GPKiddies. Or you can come for the event as well.
Where's
it always like people to come and see. So Friday, Good Friday, is a public holiday. Okay. It's at Eco Club.
In Surulere,
okay. Blessing Hall at Eco Club in Surulere. You can come volunteer, come support the children and all of that.
Okay, so one more. What's the future for Green Pasture Skaters?
Expand.
How?
Expand our reach.
So how many more kids do we want to reach?
1 million.
That's the goal. Okay, it will come to fruition. At least 17 years is not a waste. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having
me. So we come your way again next week, Saturday, like we always say. Parents, I know that it's a lot of hard work to bet kids, but please let our 9 months not go in vain. Have a wonderful week. My lines, where are my lines again? where are my lines gone? I need my lines to come back. My lines has to come back. Okay. That line was come back. That is, treat other people well. And because people will be people, keep treating them well. Have a wonderful week and God bless. Thank you.